John Rappaport, and this is episode number 3 in the creation of a false pandemic. And the title of this is The True Goal of the Pandemic. And that's important. If you're going to build up a fake pandemic, obviously you've got something in mind, quite a few things. And again, don't be fooled into thinking that it's just one thing that is the true goal behind this covert operation called a false pandemic. It's going to be more than one thing. There are many fingers in the pie at different levels who benefits many different people at different levels. I'm going to try to give you a sense of the largest look at the largest agenda here. But before I do, I need to comment briefly on the thesis that the COVID-19 virus has been engineered in a lab. Could be a high security biology lab, could be a bioweapon lab. Different people have different accounts of how this could have happened or has happened. And in each instance of the story, it involves weaponizing a virus, releasing it, and that therefore the one disease, one cause portrait is maintained, except from a completely different angle of description. And so I have some comments on that. I'm fully aware, of course, that biologists and other scientists are always at work fiddling with viruses and other germs in laboratories. This has been going on for a very, very long time. Now, there is a difference between they tried to weaponize it, and they did weaponize it. Evidence for trying is not evidence for success. You can try to succeed at something and not. So there is certainly a question about that, which has to be fully understood, the difference between the two. And so quite often, one set of evidence is substituted for the other. In other words, because it might be true that scientists have tried to engineer or tweak or weaponize the virus, they succeeded. And as evidence, we're presented with, well, look, we have an epidemic caused by the virus. But as I've been showing you in past episodes of this, that is not the case. That is purported to be the case. That is the picture being painted for the public, the press, the governments. But it is not so. We are looking at a diversity of many people who have many different disease conditions from many different causes being grouped and corralled under one fake label called COVID-19. That is being sold. That has happened in every modern epidemic. Okay. Now, there is a barrier, a very significant barrier, to the weaponization of a virus. And that barrier is that viruses are unstable and they mutate very quickly. So even if researchers were successful in creating some kind of altered germ that could damage people, the virus would be changing so rapidly that you would never end up with what you started with, and therefore guaranteed lethality and causing death would not be something that could be sustained, because the structure mutates whether or not the structure was tweaked with or weaponized or whatever, or natural. It mutates, it changes. So the idea of creating a worldwide pandemic with a single virus that has been tweaked and weaponized faces that major, major barrier. But even more than that, and this is where I hope that people will have an appreciation of the subtlety involved. If you want to talk about engineering of viruses, the much more effective thing to create the image of a pandemic would be to just slightly alter, perhaps, an ordinary coronavirus, common coronavirus, to cause a cold. The virus goes around the world many times. It can be tested for, and because of the frailties of the test that I've described in an earlier episode, many false positives will be registered and cases will be multiplied into the thousands and who knows, millions, whatever. So that what's actually done in the lab in the way of engineering is to create an illusion. Because the whole operation, the covert operation, as far as the epidemic is concerned, is to create that illusion. We have millions of cases everywhere. They're spreading and people are dying and it's all one thing. It has only one cause and we all have to be afraid and we have to stay indoors and lock down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That would be a much more effective and easier technical job of tweaking in the lab. So, with that, let's get to the goal. What are the goals here? The incredible locking down, and therefore the destruction, the economic destruction, loss of jobs, paychecks, people can't pay the rent, they can't pay the mortgage, businesses close, owners go broke, bankrupt. I mean, it's massive. That's there, undeniable. And notice how well major media are keeping that off the front page and off the lead story on the evening television news. Whereas in every horrific, other horrific circumstance that befalls people, there are hounds of reporters in there trying to interview the mother who's sitting dazed on the curb after a hurricane and she can't find her children. And some other couple with all their belongings in sacks are walking down the road. Their house has been destroyed. There are reporters there with microphones who want to interview them. Where are all the interviews, the real ones, leaving the news with people who have been economically devastated by the lockdowns? Not there. Not there. They're not leading the news. They're not being played up. The word has in fact gone out, and this could not be achieved in any other way. This is one of those instances where there is a media policy across the board in big time media to downplay all of that and say and we're all in this together, we'll get through, I'll help you, you help me, blah, blah, blah. But let's get to the case numbers and the dying and the ambulances and this and that, and Fauci and the how much money is coming out of the federal government and the latest press conference and how long will the lockdowns last and et cetera, et cetera. The virus, the virus, the virus, the virus. This is economic warfare against the population. It's a significant percentage of the global population. And the purpose of the destruction is to destroy. It's there. It's plain. It's real. People who are called elite globalists, for example, out of the Rockefeller mold, have had the intention for a long time of lowering the power of economies of certain countries and trying to level out economies. Make governments and economies more beholden to banks, more beholden to other nations' largesse, in order to bring in what I would call a single borderless world that is more or less run as a corporation from the top. Think of yourself as the CEO of a major corporation or chairman of the board. And you see that you have three divisions out of 50 that are powerhouse divisions. I mean, they are just way out in front of all the others, okay? In fact, they are so good that they operate more or less as independent entities. They are still under you, chairman of the board, and under your basic corporation, but in a de facto sense, not really. They are independent. I mean, they're just, whew, wow, tremendous producers. So there are several ways that you, as the chairman of the board, can go on this. Obviously, you can encourage that and bring, oh, boy's doing a fantastic job, whatever. You can spin these off as separate corporations and own a huge amount of stock in each one. Or if you happen to be bent on control, in other words, that is the most heavy impulse within yourself that you know about and want to exercise, then you're going to say to yourself, you know, there's something I have to do about these three gigantic powerhouse departments of my corporation. I'm going to have to reduce their power and effectiveness because they are becoming too independent, actually, and they are a threat to me, and I have to control them. That's the basic psychology which you must understand in order to understand anything about what is really going on behind this pandemic. If you don't get that, everything else doesn't make any sense at all. That there are people in this world who have accumulated a great deal of money and power and influence. For example, the Rockefeller Empire, the Carnegie Empire, just to name a couple, who have this impulse and need to control. That is primary. In order to do that, when they see some independent entity that is being successful, tremendously successful, they see it as a threat. You could say, well, they don't have to. Yeah, I know that they don't have to. Maybe even they know they don't have to, but they want to, and they need to, and they do. And so that is really the psychology in a nutshell behind the whole idea of globalism. We must reduce certain nations, especially, and nations in general, so that they are dependent upon us and our banks and our control factors and our loans and our directives and our plan for a new world, which is going to involve a lot more top-down control of everybody. That's what we're doing. And of course, how is this going to play into this false pandemic? Well, in the aftermath, for example, just on the social level, there's going to continue to be suspicion and distance keeping among people. People will not be so quick to come back into relationships with each other. Therefore, more atomization and isolation of society in general, which is always a good thing for people that are bent on controlling populations. There will continue to be lockdowns. Say 3 years from now, 2 years from now, the CDC says it's an incredibly heavy flu season in America, and we've found the hot spots and we need to lock them down. Two major cities and one smaller community. And the federal government says, yeah, of course, to contain the spread. And it happens, boom, like that, and it's all automatic, and nobody really has a problem. In fact, most people are saying, phew, glad it didn't happen where I live. And by the way, let me tell you, I don't know if you were around a few years ago for the real big one, Corona, but that, I mean, phew, this is nothing compared to that. So people are going to become accustomed to more lockdowns. Those are just a couple of the obvious social implications. A lot of people are going to go endure a lot of pain trying to recover from what happened to them financially. And there's going to be a lot more medical surveillance. And now we get to one of the biggest items. As I've been trying to tell people since 1987, the medical cartel of all the cartels in the world is long-term the most dangerous cartel. Because they fly no partisan or political banners, they claim utter neutrality. We're only trying to help and heal, and so on and so forth. And they do that at times in certain limited situations, like well-applied, good crisis emergency medicine, you bet. But across the board, the cartel itself is actually bent on control of populations and enrolling and enlisting people from cradle to grave along a bleak march of diagnosis of, say, 40 or 50 diseases and mental disorders in the course of a lifetime, treatment with toxic drugs and vaccines, to pacify people, debilitate them, make them easier to control. And now add into that heightened medical surveillance as another key element and factor that has now been added in as a, quote, necessity, given the current pandemic and the lockdowns. We will now need to have, everyone, much greater degree of medical surveillance to make sure that people are keeping their appointments with doctors, that they are following orders and so on and so forth. They're accepting their diagnoses, and we're going to be developing technology. In fact, we're already in the process of doing it, finer and finer instruments that can remotely detect diseases and disorders before they manifest visibly and completely, et cetera, you betcha. Part of this technology is nanotechnology that will involve the insertion of tiny, tiny wires, so to speak, inside the body, even in the brain. Some will be, say, wireless remote censoring, with lots of shaming involved. I'm not saying that overnight there will be dictums released by the government. I'm talking about step by step by step, entree into another world where medical detection, surveillance, wall to wall is going to be used because we're all in this together, because it's all the community and we have to protect everybody. It's for your own good. We know you'll go along with it. You went along with it during the pandemic. That was wonderful. And now we're just going to make sure, do everything that we can so that it doesn't happen again. Even though it probably will. But, you know, this is, we're doing everything that we possibly can. We have to spend more money on hospitals, more money on treatment, more money on diagnosis of every disease and disorder imaginable, if possible, as a sidelight, you know, out of the other side of the mouth, turn the world into one gigantic hospital if we possibly can. This is the direction. This is the twist. This is the added factor into the medical cartel. And it involves high-tech technology. It does, in fact, involve the Internet of Things, which is enabled, we're told, by the rollout of 5G technology. The Internet of Things, of course, makes, you know, so many items and objects which were formerly just inert and there, like refrigerators and stoves and what have you, into little computers that can talk to you and do things automatically. And also, of course, spy on you from 100 different directions and regulate your behavior. We are now talking about entering the technocracy's wet dream. Notice the smart cities in China, the smart cities that they're now building, the ghost cities they've already built. How do you think these are going to be arranged if and when they move millions of people into them, which I believe they will, and they can do that now under the rubric of these cities are much better outfitted to be able to pre-diagnose a coming epidemic, so that we can handle this, take care of it, without having to enact such disturbing and threatening measures all at once. People will be better educated, etc., all of the propaganda. So we're moving 6 million people, boom, into this smart city. And to give you a preview of the true highest goal, perhaps, behind this pandemic, let's just look at a sketch of one of these smart cities, for example. Wall-to-wall surveillance everywhere. Every person with not just one identity package, but multiple identity packages, so that everyone can be designated, identified, tracked, profiled in 117 different ways, all with the idea that we are going to regulate and control behavior. That's the whole premise here. That's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. And so you have a social credit score now, which is tied to universal guaranteed income, which we are bringing on board. That is, everybody gets a certain amount of money per month that will allow you to survive. And that is tied to your social credit score, which is an index of your behavior. If you park in the wrong place, if you miss a doctor's appointment, if you cross against a red light, if you talk back to your boss, you know, a million other possible things here, all to regulate behavior, your social score will be reevaluated and your index will drop to a degree. And that will affect your monthly check, universal guaranteed income. Again, this is not overnight, folks. This is step by step by step. We need to surveil more people. We need to have more surveillance. Why? Because look what happened when we didn't do surveillance. We had a worldwide pandemic, and in order to contain the virus, we had to lock everybody down. Don't you understand? So we don't want this to happen again. So we need better surveillance. We need to construct better cities so that we can do better surveillance. And of course, we want to help the people who are economically and financially devastated by the pandemic. We want to help them put their lives back together again. And we have multiple assistance welfare type programs to do that. And step by step with new program upon new program, we have de facto universal guaranteed income. We don't call it that, but that's what it is. Eventually, we get to that. This is not tomorrow, but this is the road that I'm describing here. And step by step, drop by drop, boiling the frog slowly, people become accustomed. They conform, as they're doing now during the massive lockdowns. Look how amazing it is that people are going along with this in great numbers, and adamantly so, to the point where there are stories of people who are now involved in a snitch culture, calling the cops because they heard their neighbor coughing, having fights in England in a market or because other people were not keeping their distance. These people who are now crossing over into becoming fascists on behalf of the government. They're not just obeying the lockdowns, they want to become enforcers. The themes are there to be played upon in human psychology. We want to help you folks. We want to bring along the citizenry to protect them. We want to help you with money, with income. And of course, there's no reason for provocative behavior on people's parts because we're building the good society. So rebels and so on, the only kind of rebellion that we think is reasonable is if we're not helping enough people, by which of course they mean they're not controlling enough people. So yes, we believe that, we the official believe, that certain behavior contributes to the feeling of community, and certain behavior is disruptive to community. Is that so terrible? Is that really so bad? And we want to reward and help people and encourage people and educate people to contribute to the community. And that's why we've created this new smart city. And that's why you can call it surveillance if you want to, but we call it care and concern. We want to be able to pre-diagnose illness and disorder before they occur to protect everybody and to protect these people that we diagnose, because then we can bring them in for treatment. Getting the flavor of this? Now, there are a million ways to work this con. I'm just giving you one attitude here. There'll be thousands of studies and after event reports and predictions on how propaganda ought to be done and how mind control ought to be done. And of course, there are new developments in mind control all the time. But to move large populations, and we have now the example before us with the massive planetary lockdowns, there was no significant necessary mind control necessary here except to make the announcements, paint the pictures, claim the cases, look to China as the model. This is the technocratic top-down control model. Look to China as the model because they locked down 50 million people overnight in three cities. That was the key. That's what distinguished this from the other dud epidemics that we've recently seen. everything in its place in the smart city. We have room for you. You have room for us. Everything is planned, controlled. And above all, we have, and this would eventually become the case, and this was discussed in a brilliant book called Technocracy Rising, the author, Patrick Wood. He traces the technocracy movement back to the early part of the 20th century in America and the engineer's dream of engineering a world. The politicians are all crazy. We are the people who know how to engineer things. We can engineer society. That was the utopian, naive dream. And then that evolved into various political movements, and it split apart with the onrush of war. But it's never went away, and it's been reborn. And as Pat points out, at the heart is the ability to measure and monitor in real time the total production of energy in the world and the total consumption of energy in the world at any given moment, in gross figures down to the individual, anywhere. And that capability, of course, did not exist in the 1920s, but it exists now. And so in the technocratic movement and smart city movement and so forth, gradually, step by step, this is one of the basic fulfillments of the technocratic dream, nightmare. So a voice in a person's wall in an apartment in a smart city says, "Hello, Mr. Smith. This is your friend. I just want to let you know that your energy quota for the month is running perilously close to the edge. You've got 16 units left, owing to the fact that we had to divert many units to emergency medical centers because we had an outbreak, as you well know. Now, I want to do everything possible to help you not go over your energy use limit or trigger the alarm when you reach the limit. So I'm going to be instituting brownouts and dimming in your apartment for the remainder of the month. I'm on your side." Everybody knows now in a smart city that the totality of energy production in the world and use from gross amount down to the individual can be described, pinpointed, quantified, and regulated and monitored with quotas for every individual. You have an energy quota for the month. Based upon humanitarian worldwide calculations of who needs energy and who needs how much energy, this would be an ultimate. And of course, it spins out of surveillance, you see, because the voice in the wall talking to you can surveil the apartment and all the devices in it, and you. And why do we need to have such terrible surveillance? Because, well, for many reasons, but as you can see now, we have one big reason, and that is to try to stave off, before they occur, global pandemics like the one that we're experiencing now. This is a key, folks. This is a key. Because many people, if you ask them in the middle of the lockdown whether they would object to surveillance of one kind or another, would say no. And you could assure them that it would only be used for medical uses. And you could try to define what the is and the limits of the technology and so forth, and be very kind of concerned for privacy rights and all of that. You would find a large number of people saying yes. And so what is used for medical today can be used for other reasons tomorrow. Surveillance. Early detection. Early prevention. Technocracy, Brave New World. The old model is done, folks, because we can see what it produces. It produces pandemics. Think about that one. There's something wrong with the structure of society if it gives rise to out of control pandemics. We have to be able to do a better job for the sake of everybody. And we have to take the view, not of the individual, not of freedom, not of liberty, not of your vision of your life. That is extinct now. It can't be granted, right? Watch out. It can't be granted anymore because look what it results in. Everything goes out of control and we need more control. The world that has now been built is finished because it gives rise to what we've just experienced, the pandemic. Now, this is going to be sold in a variety of ways, folks. And because what I've given you here in the first two episodes is a primer on the fake pandemic, then you can see how, yeah, this is not just disorganized by accident, because the pandemic is leading into the fake pandemic is leading into the need for a new world, a new society, a better society. A more secure society. And of course, China is again going to become the model because they've got the smart cities that they're building, the ghost cities they've already built that can contain millions of people, and the brutal power necessary to force in a very short period of time millions of people into stage one of Brave New World. It is going to be sold step by step. It's already being sold, but now a line has been drawn in the sand. Before the pandemic, after the pandemic. This is what is happening. And after the pandemic is going to be described as we have to build a better world, a world in which disease cannot run out of control, in which we have better pre-diagnostic skills, and therefore we need to be able to watch and listen and learn and surveil in order to do that. The pandemic is going to be generalized as a key shock to the system of the population for which there was a before and an after. You're going to hear it, you're going to see it, you're going to feel it, you're going to experience it in various ways. I'm not saying again, don't mistake me. I'm not saying again that this is going to happen overnight. I'm saying that it's a step-by-step process. We've got to clean everything up. We've got to organize better. Statements like that. What do you mean? If you start to look at the specifics, don't think about the specifics. Just get the feeling of the general, the way you feel that it must be one disease and one cause. and it couldn't be various things all welded together under a fake label called COVID-19. In the same way, yes, we got to be better organized. Yes, yes, I feel the need for that too. We have to reorganize things. We have to, post-pandemic, we have to build a better world. Yes, I'm on board. Sign me up. Don't know what it really means, but I like how it feels. Got an education system that doesn't teach anybody to think. Therefore, learn how to feel. What feel? Yeah, I like this. Some people are going to like better organization. Other people are going to like build a better world for everybody. Yeah, I want to sign on to that. Sure. Absolutely. And that's how it's going to be introduced. There's going to be countries where new epidemics are going to break out, and then it's going to be said, we can't risk having these epidemics come to the West or the North or whatever. So we have to help those countries so that they never again will experience this kind of epidemic break. How are we going to do that? We're going to better organize these countries. We're going to build better countries. Okay, great, sign me up for that. And what's going to happen? Well, in the countries in which more brute force can be exerted, suddenly and quickly, we're going to see much more surveillance. Wall to wall, visibly there. Not just covert surveillance, but visible surveillance. And we're going to see lots of new smart devices and so forth, and we're going to see energy quotas, and it's going to grow. The epidemic model, in other words, is a tremendous springboard from which other changes can be made on a gross level in society if you will look at this and understand it. The more that I look back on my own personal career as a reporter, starting in the early 1980s and getting into it really deeply in 1987, 88 with AIDS and HIV, is that something clicked in my mind and I sensed that this was a model upon that would act as a springboard to sell insanity, basically, if you really want to know the fundamental of it. And that has become increasingly clearer to me over the years as I've continued my investigations of epidemics and other medical crimes. I know there are good doctors and good nurses out there, believe me, but I'm talking about the medical cartel. And this epidemic, pandemic-type covert op becomes the springboard for saying we have to do better. We have to organize better. We have to build a better world. And that is the high goal of this whole operation, is to take us into, quote, better world. If you reread Huxley's Brave New World, one of the things that you see, which is not necessarily played up in the book of this technocratic utopia, is that disease is not a problem, you see. Disease is not a problem. War, disease. War becomes the springboard from which to say we must build a better world. And if you want to see a fantastic movie about that, Things to Come, produced by Alexander Korda. Epidemics. We must build a better world so we don't have those anymore. Whether it's enunciated clearly, articulated, or whether it's covertly implied, that's what we're looking at. And you should be aware of that. And that's what this is all about. That's what, yes, the economic devastation, as I've described, yes, a main cardinal indication here. But even deeper and higher than that is this sensation of, whew, we got through that by the skin of our teeth. We got to shake that off. We really got to shake that off, folks. It's like a bad case of the oozy oozies, and we don't want to see that anymore. Wow. Now that we're outdoors again, we don't want that to happen anymore, you see, says the patient who's just been released from the insane asylum after horrendous treatment of 3 years. And the doctor looks at him and says, well, Jim, if you stay on the straight and narrow and behave, you won't wind up back here again. And Jim says, you got it, doc. The last thing I want to do is to be thrown into my little cell and treated by you folks here. And the doctor says, you got it, Jim. Stay on the straight and narrow. Whew. Jim says as he walks out the gate, I'm going to do whatever is necessary not to have that happen again. Okay. That's what I mean by a defining moment. The whole purpose of this pandemic was to create the illusion of a defining moment. The one disease, one cause picture, the one spreading horrible wave over the planet, the one thing, the one defining moment from which there could be a springboard of generalities that nevertheless play into deep-seated emotions of many people to organize better, build a better world. Never let that happen again. I don't want to ever experience that again now that I breathe clean air again and walk in the park and feel good. No, you see. Well, how are we going to do all these things that you feel we need to do? Well, we need to be smarter. We need to have smarter. We need to install smarter. We need to have all of this wonderful technology that we've developed, and here's more propaganda, turn to the use of helping people and making people safe. Safe, 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 safe. Okay? And smart city is the way to go. Smartening up our cities and building new smart towns and cities. That is the future. Now, you could say logically, well, you know, when I try to infer from pandemic, this, that, the other thing that you're saying, to smart cities and towns, I don't necessarily see all of the logical links that the pandemic implies that we have to have these smart cities. But you see, they don't care about that. All they want to do is to create a bridge of suggestion along which most people or enough people will want to travel into the smart world to avoid the dark world of the pandemic. And all manner of imagery and suggestions will be deployed to remind people of the dark world and the new shining world. And the technocratic world is a world of slavery, make no doubt about it. And yes, we could get into many factors about genetic alteration and all kinds of nanotechnology and this and that and the other thing. And yes, they're all extremely important. But I just wanted to give you the core that runs through all of that so that you see it and understand this is a defining moment because there are people who want it to be, and they're going to use it in this way. The technocratic world is a world of control, made to look comfortable, made to look pleasant, made to look much improved over the dark world, as long as people behave. As long as people simply do what they're supposed to do. And when you put it that way, most people, or many people anyway, will say, well, now that I think about it, that's kind of what I do now. So why wouldn't I want to do this if it's easier, more pleasant, and safer, safer. See, we're already breeding, so to speak, many, many people who would be comfortable in that smart world, that technocratic, brave new world. But this pandemic illusion makes, you know, the before and the after. The defining moment, the dark before, the light after. Okay. Where does freedom come in here? Freedom is the key. Freedom, liberty, individual imagination, creativity, vision, what your life, your future is, remains the key. Your decisions. Freedom never goes away. The future never goes away. Your future, the future you imagine and create, the power that you have to do that. Whether you want it or not, like it or not, it's there. And no matter what kind of world is being laid out for us, there is still this other thing that stands outside everything that I've described here, which is your creative power, your imagination, your vision of the best thing that you want for the future. In your terms, the highest values, the highest, greatest, most thrilling creation of your own. That is not part of the smart anything, not part of propaganda anything, not part of virus anything, not part of fear anything, not part of people selling fear porn anything. Nothing to do with that. It's your power. It's there, believe me. For more details on everything I've been talking about in these episodes, you can go to nomorefakenews.com. Solari.com, I want to thank heartily Catherine Austin Fitz for the time, the effort, the space to do this series. And thank you very much. This is John Rappaport. This was a primer, the basics on the creation of a false pandemic.